Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good Friday morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman, and we have some very important business to deal with right now. I just received a Facebook message, and it is from Daniel Seckham. And Daniel has a friend, and his friend has a wife and four children, I believe it is. And they were in the wife. The mother and the children were in a serious car accident in Australia, and the mother and one of the boys was flighted in a rescue attempt in ICU, and we need to pray for them right now to come out of ICU. It's a very serious injury, and so let's pray together right now for our friend Daniel and his friend and family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you're an almighty God. You're the creator of heaven and earth, and there is nothing impossible with you. And Father, we are lifting up Daniel's friend's family, his wife and children who have been in this car accident in Australia. Lord, there's not a bird on the earth that doesn't fall to the ground that you're not aware of. And you know what's going on in Australia, as you know, everywhere around the world, every person, every hair that has been numbered on every person's head. You're well aware, and we're asking in prayer right now for the salvation of this family. We're asking that they would be saved from the destruction of the car accident, saved from any physical damages, saved from any brain injuries, saved from death in the name of Jesus. We are asking you, Lord, to bring them out, and I know this is going to change their lives, but use it for your glory. Use it for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, give wisdom to the doctors. Give wisdom to those that are serving in Australia in this family right now. We pray for life in the mighty name of Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Boy, things really do strike close to home at times, don't they? And we're just going to keep on praying. We'll keep on praying. For, you know, whenever a prayer request goes up and people need prayer, we're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing. We are a generation that we're going to keep doing that when the need is there. And we're looking for a shout in our lives today because we believe the ecclesia all over the earth, there's a growing roar, and the day is going to come when there's going to be a shout and the heavens and the earth are going to shake. And the exposure of those things that have been hidden in the darkness are going to be revealed, and we're going to move in an accelerated way into this fulfillment of end time prophecy, praise God, which we're going to talk a little bit more about today. But whether it's a family in Australia or people that are suffering anywhere in the world, there's so much of it. You know it. I know it. There's so much of it. There's going to be a little bit more down in Louisiana. At least that is the projection for this Hurricane Barry that is beginning to bring the four winds. Again, here we go. A little bit more. Got recalled last night. Very serious, actually. And this is very interesting, and I want to share this with you. It was a snapshot of what they're doing in Southern California right now. And so let me see if I can get this enlarged just a bit to read this. So here's the report that came to me last night. California, prepare for a huge earthquake in the next 3 to 5 days. Unless the pressure is distributed further east, and it has not yet, a huge 8 to 9 on the Richter scale will hit. The pressure since the last 7.1 has not released anywhere else as of today, with aftershocks 3 and below every hour since. The pressure is building, says all seismologists. Unless we begin to see some 5.0 earthquakes here in the middle of the nation, suggesting pressure from Cali is being distributed and released, California is in big trouble. Also, the government has turned off plate and seismic readings to the public as of yesterday. You can pull up some info, but very little in the area. That should suggest they know something they do not want the masses to panic about. If you are in the area, be smart. Grab some supplies to last a few days. Have a plan ready just in case. This everyone's nightmare. Please pray for California. And that is the article that was sent to me yesterday. And so in order for the pressure to release, we should feel shakings in different parts of the country, which was the thought in that particular warning again. And so we stand on the precipice of a very moving time, a very moving time. Earthquakes, hurricanes, what is it? Oh, it's just, you know, the season. No, it's what Jesus said would be happening all over the world. And these earthquakes, they are happening everywhere. There was a 6.0 yesterday in Malawi, I believe it was. I'll pull that information up. The earth is shaking everywhere. Remember, the earth vomits out the inhabitants of the land because of their corruption, their sin, the pollution of their idolatry. And we're witnessing it. And we're just, again, remembering almost every morning we come behind these microphones, just God putting his finger to his mouth saying, shh. And so we're not getting as loud as we could on a number of these issues. And we just know that you should constantly be ready. Now, what is the government telling everybody in Louisiana? Get your 3-day supplies, hunker down, get out of the evacuating particular areas. And this is why it's not healthy to not be prepared. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got a data last night, yesterday, they were saying, go to the store, get your prescriptions, you know, make sure you get gas in your car, get yourself into your ATM, get a little cash out. And they're telling everybody do it last night. And, you know, it's very difficult because you get the mad rush and then you get in these long lines and then frustration because of you know, panic sets in. And folks, there's more panic ready to hit the nations of the earth than you and I could even imagine. And I say that sincerely. The fear levels and the panic levels that are going to rise at this time, you really don't want to be in the crowd. You want to be so far ahead of the game. And I hope and pray that most of you that are listening are exactly that, so far ahead of the game that when that moment comes, that you will just be able to move so beautifully. And you will say one day, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the instructions of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit that was prompting me to get that little extra food, that 3-day pack in my car, you know, to know a place to go, to be close to home. And just, you're going to thank God. I'm telling you, you're going to thank God for every single bit of preparations that you have made along the way, these many, many years. Noah built his ark. It took nearly 100 years, but the day came and he did it. And I do not believe you're going to, you know, regret. You're never going to regret the moments that you have been preparing. There is another article here that I thought was interesting because I was thinking about this constant theme in my heart and mind that I've been getting for the last several months about 2019 being the year, the summer of violence. And I did, it's been in the back of my mind, the word violence. And I did recall in my spirit in Genesis chapter 6, when God told Noah, build an ark because the earth was filled with violence, that the Hebrew word for violence was Hamas. It is Hamas. And I started thinking about this, and I found this article that I thought was very interesting from a very reputable source that right now is engaged in a civil war with another Christian ministry. So I really don't want to bring the two ministries up that are in a civil war. They're writing towards one another and fighting big time, and I don't want to go there, but I thought this article was excellent. And it says this, it's an exclusive report that documents an Islamist movement in America composed of terrorist, paramilitary, and criminal components. So an Islamist movement in America composed of terrorist, paramilitary, and criminal components is increasingly anticipating a nationwide armed uprising, which will be sparked by a confrontation with police and/or white supremacist, according to this ministry's intelligence network resources. So the nationwide movement, consisting largely of African American prison converts, includes multiple Islamist groups connected to a violent organization named Ummah playing the biggest role. Other components of this Islamic Islamist movement include Salafi extremist, Sufi extremist, and more mainstream Muslim Brotherhood type Sunnis, such as Brooklyn Imam Siraj Wahaj. This racially focused Islamist movement is focused on developing Islamist dominated neighborhoods and communes. The objective is to create insular enclaves that minimize opposing influences and maximize the difficulties facing law enforcement in monitoring the communities. A central theme of this movement is that minorities in the U.S., especially Muslims and black people, must prepare for an inevitable uprising against law enforcement, white supremacists, and their Zionist conspirators. They believe there will be a confrontation that unites Islamists who will then ally with non-Muslim political partners to fight against the supposedly racist and tyrannical U.S. government and its shadowy puppeteers. This sense of impending conflict has heightened as race issues have become more prominent in politics as well as an issue surrounding white supremacy. Anti-Muslim extremism, anti-police bigotry, and political violence. The ministry, I'm not going to name its name again, has dubbed this mutually reinforcing radicalism the war of the extremes. Many members of this Islamist movement are involved in criminal activity with the approval of imams, including illegally selling guns, oftentimes stolen from personal homes, for profit. Sources in multiple Muslim communities say that members of security teams from radical mosques and organizations are involved in the gun trade, especially in Pennsylvania and Michigan. The criminal elements, particularly when it comes to firearms, trafficking, and martial arts training, come together despite their ideological differences. As discussed in the lengthy exposé, below, this Islamist movement includes, but is not limited to, number one, a nationwide paramilitary and organized crime group known as the Ummah, with a history of terrorism-related activity. Number two, the Brooklyn Imam Siraj Wahaj Black Islamist Coalition. Number three, a Sufi jihadist network that extends into Africa. Number four, the United Muslim Movement, founded by music producer and songwriter Kenny Gamble, now known as Luqman Abdul Haq. And number five, the Jamaat ul Fugra, a cult that claims to have 22 Islamic villages in America and is led by radical cleric in Pakistan linked to terrorist groups in Southeast Asia. And then number six, the U.S. Muslim Brotherhood pro-Hamas network. Okay. Now, the Ummah. But before I go any further, I just want to revisit the beginning of this article where it says, and here was the very beginning, is that an Islamist movement in America composed of terrorist, paramilitary, and criminal components is increasingly anticipating a nationwide armed uprising, which will be sparked by a confrontation with police and/or white supremacists, according to the intelligence sources. Okay? And so this is a growing, and as we've been talking about, the summer of violence, the summer of Hamas. Let's read a little bit about the Ummah. The Ummah is the largest and arguably the most dangerous component of this Islamist movement is the Ummah, a group whose leaders have been involved in acts of terrorism, attacking police officers, and extensive criminal activity. The FBI describes Ummah as a nationwide radical fundamentalist Sunni group. In a criminal complaint, the FBI says, and I quote, their primary mission is to establish a separate, sovereign Islamic state called the Ummah within the borders of the United States, governed by Sharia law. The Ummah is to be ruled over by Jamil Abdullah al-Amin, formerly known as H. Rap Brown. The exact number of mosques loyal to Ummah is not known. In 1995, it was estimated that Ummah was affiliated with 30 to 40 mosques in the United States and about 20 to 30,000 followers, which is more than the Nation of Islam led by Louis Farrakhan. In 2000, it was reported that al-Amin's Ummah had over 28 mosques. Now, Ummah's spiritual leader, Jamil Abdullah al-Amin, formerly famous as H. Rap Brown in the 1960s, is a ferociously anti-American imam currently serving a life sentence for shooting two police officers in Georgia in 2000. Al-Amin was a member of the Black Panthers when he was known as H. Rap Brown. Birth name was Hubert Gerald Brown. Well, in 1967, al-Amin was charged with arson and inciting a riot after encouraging protesters in Maryland to become violent and destructive. He went so far as to say that black people were going to burn America down if their demands were not met. The charges were subsequently reduced to misdemeanors. We heard that same chant, by the way, over in Ferguson, Missouri, and in Baltimore, Maryland during the riots just a few years ago, burn the blank down. Well, he went to prison from 1971 to 1976 after he tried to rob a bar in New York City and got into a shootout with police. And so there's a lot more about this this leader of the Ummah, but there's a top Ummah leader in Detroit, and his name is Luqman Amin Abdullah, a top Ummah leader and imam of Masjid ul Haq in Detroit, was killed in a shootout in Detroit in 2009. He was recorded talking about impending terrorist attacks on federal targets and planning to leave the U.S. so he could lead Ummah operations from abroad. And, you know, just a little interjection of thought. I don't know if you ever saw it. I would not recommend it. But there was a movie that was just brought out about the hotels, what was the name of the hotel where they carried out Mumbai terror attacks, when the entire operation, when those handful of terrorists, five or six, whatever they were, went into the Hotel Mumbai and they shot and killed and did a lot of damage. But the one that was operating was on a cell phone way outside of that area in another country that was running the entire organization. And, you know, you get the feeling that it's not just the people that are in the United States, but the people that are funding the terrorist organizations in the United States. And while the FBI and the CIA and all are the intelligence of the U.S. has been monitoring all these things, they certainly haven't shut them down. And it's always in Islam, you know, waiting for the moment, to do when basically there's a particular environment that they've created. And, you know, this article really hasn't even talked about Antifa, another terrorist organization. And again, I'm not going to go any further with this article. Just, you know, suffice it to say that there is an anticipation of a national uprising. And with, you know, the discontented, you know, black Muslims or the blacks that are racist, that are calling everybody else racist. You hear that all the time, you know, the white supremacists are racist and all this stuff. And in reality, there are blacks in our country that are extremely racist. And that is just a truth. That is just a truth. And there are whites that may be racist, but the provocation is not coming from white supremacists right now. And the black racists are in getting involved with the Islamic movement. And there's a connection being made for an uprising because they do want to burn the nation to the ground. And unfortunately, the sin in America is so rank that God will actually allow the adversaries and the enemies of this nation to pull it down. Now, there are some things we've got to get into at this moment, and I want to get to Revelation 18 because I want to bring the Word of God into this. And I've been thinking about this for a very long time, and it is Friday, and I want this to be somewhat of a kickoff for where we're going to go. We were talking a couple of weeks ago about the seven-headed beast with the 10 horns, and we connected some of the systems, and we went so far with that. We didn't get as deep as we want to go, but we will. We will go deeper into that. But today, I want to talk about Babylon, because Babylon is, you know, we always read in Revelation chapter 17 and 18 about mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And we wonder, who is this mystery Babylon that rides the beast? And what is the mystery? We know it's occult religions. We know it's secret societies. We know a lot of that imagery is there. But I want to talk about something because Revelation chapter 18, right, is all about the destruction of Babylon. But what we don't really hear often enough, maybe we just kind of take it for granted. Maybe we just kind of go, well, of course, you know. But here's the reality. Before Babylon is completely obliterated so that it will never exist again, which is in Revelation 18, because we know that Babylon existed in Isaiah's prophecy, Babylon existed in Jeremiah's prophecy, Ezekiel's prophecy. Babylon has been destroyed and it's been rebuilt, but we know that there is an end of Babylon forever and ever, and Revelation 18 is the very end of the destruction of Babylon, the mystery, the spirit of it, and all of its systems, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the issue that we haven't thought about. Babylon in Revelation 18, before it is destroyed in Revelation 18, will be in power, full zenith power, during the Great Tribulation. And we need to understand something here. Before the destruction and finality of everything associated with Babylon, in Revelation 18, this Babylon will come to full power. Now, what I think we need to start talking about and going through in Revelation 18 is look at everything that Babylon is and understand that that is what is being formed all over the world right now. I believe that it is very clear that every single component of Babylon, as revealed in Revelation 18, does now exist on this earth. And the only thing that has to happen to bring Babylon into the tribulation scenario, where mystery Babylon will be the zenith of power of Antichrist and everything evil, is putting it together. All the pieces that are there. If you were to have a puzzle and you were to take all the different pieces and put it together, Babylon would exist. They say right now, for example, that every necessary component of the temple, the physical temple in the Middle East that they will build, that Antichrist will walk into, they have it. They just need to put it together. And I want you to know that right now, every single component of Babylon, as revealed in Revelation 18, is now here. And it's just, there needs to be some impetus to put it all together. The globalization of Babylon. Every single component. And I'll give you an example. In Revelation 18, it talks about selling the souls of men. And we're going to actually read it here in just a moment. But do you realize that's going on right now? We think about slavery. What about the sex trade, sex trafficking, child pornography that's coming out into the open, where they're buying and selling little boys and little girls for sexual pleasure? So the things that we once looked at in Revelation 18 and said, wow, what kind of Babylon was selling the souls of men? Well, it's happening right now, okay? Now, what I want to get into, and I want our minds to really focus on this for a moment. Revelation 18, Babylon, when it's destroyed, it will have become, okay? Right now, it's ready to form. But every component already exists globally around the world. It's just now the interconnectedness of Babylon. And what is it going to take for those interconnected moments to take place? Well, everything else leading up to the Great Tribulation of Revelation 13. And by the time we get to Revelation chapter 13, it will be the completed Babylon, okay? That's why the second beast of Revelation 13, there's an image just like there was in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. So by the time we arrive at the 3.5-year mark of Great Tribulation, Babylon will exist globally all over the world, okay? And every component's here right now. So what leads up to that? Well, I believe we happen to be, and this is just a personal belief. Everybody has their different understanding of things. I believe that we are standing on the precipice of what is known as the sixth seal. Now watch this, and I'm going to just lightly walk through this, and then we're going to read description out of Revelation 18. The sixth seal is simply the great earthquake that shakes the entire earth. Kind of fits into what's going on right now, possibly, right? I believe the first five seals have been opened. We know that the four colors are Islamic. That's what started this whole thing with the blood red moons, 9/11, et cetera, et cetera. There's a conversation to have there. Now, following the sixth seal is a moment of Selah, where chapter 7 is basically a pause in the pangs, the beginning of sorrows, okay? By the time we get to chapter 8, there begins the seven trumpets. And by the time that first trumpet sounds, the second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth trumpet, these are events that are going to happen very quickly, I believe, when that seal, that sixth seal breaks with that global earthquake and it shakes everything in the heavens and on earth. Well, that is, you talk about afterquakes. Well, the aftershocks of this sixth seal are the trumpets. And they are in succession one after another. There's stars falling from heaven. There's volcanoes. There's all kinds of stuff going on. The earth is in that moment. It's going to move into this kind of violent activity. Now, while the trumpets are going, we know that the sixth trumpet is the Great World War III, where nuclear weapons and the exchange of the powerful weapons that are on the face of the earth are going to take a third of the population of the earth, okay? We're talking billions of people dying in a nuclear exchange, and whatever other weapons of mass destruction exist today, we know that there's, and it's not going to be a long World War II, long World War, this is going to be a quick sixth trumpet battle where hundreds of millions of warriors are going to be involved. And there is going to be an outbreak of war to reduce the population, cut it basically right in half of what it is today when you put the numbers together. Over 3.5 billion people are going to die very soon of what these exchanges will be. Now, that is actually going to lead towards Babylon's structure. All of the trumpets are going to do. And then, you know, that there's the four trumpets and it says, whoa, 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 there's three more to come. And that's the locust invasion of Revelation 9. And then the sixth trumpet, And then the seventh trumpet sounds and all kinds of activity begins and we go to another level. And that's when we get into the beast coming out of the pit of Revelation 11, the war in heaven, Satan coming to this earth, you know, because of the angelic battle, and then begins Revelation chapter 13. You say, well, how long will all this take? Well, in my understanding, the prophecy was given 2,000 years ago, right? And so it's been a long time coming, but it's a prophecy waiting to be fulfilled, like the prophecy of Jesus Christ. For 4,000 years, the prophets prophesied that Messiah would come. There were many false messiahs, but then the true Messiah came in the dispensation of the fullness of times. And then it was as though after 4,000 years, suddenly there he is. And everything happened very quick. And within 33 and a half years, it was birthed. It was completed. It was over in a very short time. And then the Lord went up into the heavens and at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. And he's going to come again. But 2,000 years have passed. But the prophecy of the Messiah came. It was fulfilled so quickly. The revelation prophecy is here, and it's going to this sixth seal, I believe, is going to accelerate everything. Now, what is it that Babylon is? What is it that Babylon is? Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 18, and let's look at what the Bible says. Revelation 18:1. Now, remember, this is God. After the tribulation, he's about to destroy Babylon after the tribulation, which tells us Babylon was in power during the tribulation, and it's in formation of being built right now. All the systems are here. But let's take a look at what we're going to find. Verse 1, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Good morning, Patricia Joy. How are you this morning? I'm glad you joined me because I'm just getting ready to get into things.
Okay. I'm doing really wonderfully, beautifully good.
You look beautiful.
Thank you,
what a beautiful
sir.
Sight.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yes. And you know that this is one more day to get it right. Aren't we a blessed people? But I was listening to your conversation regarding Babylon. And in my way of thinking, what I believe is that Babylon is an evil system that started with Nimrod, a system of occultic measures, and it has been in the world all along, never truly dealt with, but now it's coming forth full force. And this system, this Babylonian system, is powerful, and it's backed by Satan himself. So we're in war.
Okay, now that's a very interesting statement. We go back, and here's how I view it. I view Nimrod, the first one, to be the builder of what we know as Babylon. He built a tower, and he built a city. And yet God confused it, so it was never really completed.
You're right.
And then we see beyond Nimrod, then we see the first is Egypt, where you have a pharaoh, the new Nimrod, the world leader, and a nation, a city, Egypt being built, a nation, an empire, but it's destroyed.
Yes.
And then we see the Assyrian Empire rise and fall. Then the Babylonian Empire rise and fall. Then the Medo-Persian Empire rise and fall. The Grecian Empire rise and fall. The Roman Empire rise and fall. So while Babylon, the spirit, has been here all along and it's had moments, it's always been isolated in different places around the world. Very few, except for Rome, really spread out around the world. But the Babylon in the last days is an interconnected system all over the world that will exist for 3.5 years, combining all those ancient powers into one moment against everything called God.
And that's why it's called mystery.
Yeah.
You're so right. It's called mystery because it was backed by these various societies all along, right from the very beginning.
Lucifer himself.
Yes, Lucifer himself, who is being worshipped by these secret societies. And so it's been in the world all along, rising its ugly head, going down, being under control, then rising up again, and it's never been fully dealt with. Now it is going to be fully dealt with. And I believe the way it's going to be fully dealt with is by the light of the children of God.
Okay, and so
exposed.
So not only is it going to be fully dealt with in Revelation 18, But it has to come to its global zenith of power during the Great Tribulation, globally, all over the world, in a more sophisticated manner than ever before in the history of the world, because of the advanced technology that Satan has available to him to orchestrate this entire system. And what I'm saying is that you and I and everybody out there today, we are living in the very construction of the Babylon of all Babylons that is global all over the world. Even in the heavens, the skies above us are controlled by this system. And we're going to see it all come together, because the wars, the shakings, everything is going to actually cause it to become the Babylon that will be in the final moments of man's history on this earth.
I believe it's going to come and be exposed as the children of light start to pray and intercede for that exposure, because we are the light upon the hill. And when our light begins to truly shine and the truth through prayer is exposing the darkness, more and more is going to be revealed. And it is being revealed right now. But we must become those children of light, and we must begin to pray and intercede for the light to break through the darkness, that it all will be exposed.
And it will be exposed, because God, we're going to live through this. But the fact of the matter is, during that 3.5 year great tribulation, this Babylonian system, along with the beasts that are riding with it, are going to persecute and overcome the saints of God. And that's what the Revelation chapter 13 says, that he was given power to overcome the saints for 3.5 years, to wear them down. Now, will there be an overcoming branch of Christians along the way? Yes, but Nazi Germany is the preview of the global persecution that's ready to hit. Babylon's coming to power to destroy God.
He wants to rule and reign. Yes, he wants the position
of God.
Well,
he's going to, not wants to.
Well,
he's going to,
yes,
according to Scripture.
But not against God's anointed, elite, remnant people. We're rising up, but we must become the children of light. You see, Satan is going to come after us as we run into the wilderness. He is going to come after us, vomit his filth upon us, trying to destroy us in every way and means, but the earth is going to open up and he is going to be devoured within that.
You're talking about a particular group called the woman.
The woman is the true church.
He spews out a flood out of his mouth against the woman, but she escapes. And so he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the woman seems to be a very particular people group. And there's a big argument as to whether it's Israel or the mother of us all is the Jerusalem above, whatever that means. But there will be war against the remnant of her seed, those who keep the commandments and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the great tribulation against the saints.
And so the remnant of her seed would be, and very possibly be, those of Israel who receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah and become that. And he goes then to persecute them. And she is kept safe in the wilderness as a Goshen experience, the church, and those who have loved the Lord Jesus Christ of Israel.
The problem with that, in my understanding, is Revelation chapter 7, that the untold multitude that no man could number came out of great tribulation, having washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, which means the majority of believers around the world, not just in Israel, are going into the great tribulation, because the tribulation is going to be afforded by the entirety of the Babylonian global system and the beast kingdom controlling everything. No one is going to be exempt because they live in a particular part of the terra firma earth.
Well, not talking about that, but as a people, as an Israeli people, not just because they're in the earth, the firmament of the earth, but a people. But I do believe that there is an elite group, a group that is his remnant people that are going to be saved, whether it's of her seed, whether it's of the church, the seed of the church. And I believe that's what is the woman. She is the church. She is the one along with Israel who received Jesus Christ as their Messiah. That is the church. That's who she is. And the remnant of her seed is there.
Well, I know that there's a seal upon the 144,000, and I do know that they are the overcomers, and I do know there's a woman that's going into the wilderness that will be provided for. Time will tell who she is and what that wilderness may be. And we have a lot more to learn. There's no doubt about it. But what I love about your part of the conversation is that you have been instructing saints of God to work out their salvation, get delivered, walk in obedience to God, so that you may be one of those overcomers that will not be touched. Like in the book of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia, God says, I will keep you from the hour of tribulation that will come on the whole earth, right?
Yes.
So God is able to keep his people from this. And just like the Jews in Nazi Germany that heard the message, what was coming, they took heed, they did what was necessary and prepared, and they got out before anything happened to them, while the majority, 6 million, were taken into the concentration camps. So we are warning of this particular issue.
Well, I believe the people that are going to be considered during these 3.5 years are people that have learned to walk in the light of Christ and please God. And I believe it's plain that living apart from the darkness means withdrawing completely in from the evil thereof, but not from the world. Instead, walking as children of the light, not engaging in the sins of the unbelieving culture, even as we love the sinners around us. But we have to learn to be the light. And it comes in when we make a decision that those who are still enslaved by sin will be forbidden to walk in to the place of the church, the woman. They'll still be enslaved by sin, even though they're Christians. And this is where they are going to have to go through.
Right, because that's God's cleanup call. Now, let's get to Revelation chapter 18. I just want to lay a little bit of foundation. So where I hopefully want to go next week, if things are still the same as they are today. I know we got storms coming around and all this stuff happening everywhere. Only God knows what tomorrow is going to bring, let alone today. So Revelation 18:1, very interesting. After these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power. The earth was lightened with his glory. He cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Patricia, it's interesting that in Revelation 18, right before the final destruction of Babylon, the total obliteration, God's calling his people out. Isn't that interesting that God's people are in her at that very time? What do you think about that?
Well, I believe she is there, but she's being kept for a time and a half. And I believe that he's calling her out now to rule and reign with him. This is the time where the world is going to be taken over by the kingdom of God. Am I missing it?
Well, it's not a question of you missing it. I think there's a lot of talk about right now the church is going to take authority and dominion. But to me personally, as I read this, where we are in time right now, you know, I look through the lens of a church that's ready to go into captivity, a church that's getting ready to be scattered, a church that's ready to experience persecution like never before globally around the world. It's already happening. I don't see a militant, triumphant church at this moment rising to power to overcome the Babylonian system that's here right now. I believe the Babylonian system that's everywhere around the world and ready to go is going to be put together for the 3.5 year great tribulation against the people of God with the authority to overcome many of the saints of God, because it says so.
She's not going to be overcoming the Babylonian system. She's going to be kept for a time and a half as the Babylonian system goes after her to destroy her. Okay. But the flood is going to pour out of his mouth to try to get her. But the earth is going to open up and swallow it.
Okay, but here's my point. There's a difference of being kept. You know, God is going to keep her, and she's going to rise to power and take authority over the earth.
She's going to be kept there and then drawn to do so with him during the time of his coming for the millennium.
Well, that I totally agree.
Okay.
Now we're
I
on the same page.
You know, I do need to learn how to explain myself.
No, you explain yourself wonderfully, and I think that was just the missing component, because I know we're in agreement, and it's during the 1,000-year millennial reign that we will be executing everything. We will be governing the earth with our Lord Jesus Christ. I get that. But in order to get there, we have to go through this great tribulation of persecution. And yet, in the midst of that, there will be a people that will be kept by the power of God. I totally agree with that.
What I believe the Lord is doing right now is he is revealing and exposing the darkness. So we have a better understanding of truth of what will be taking place. And then how are we to be? And that which is hidden in the darkness can be revealed. And it can only be revealed. And then we're talking about what is hidden in the darkness right now. We're trying to get the light on it. And that which is hidden in the darkness can be revealed only when light shines on it. And by walking in Christ, we shine the light of holiness on the dark recesses of this world. And so we have to be that light to expose, to understand, and to know.
Well, amen to that. Patricia, we're going to take a pause right now because we're going really fast here. I've got a lot of people calling in on the broadcast, and there's somebody that is wanting to share something. So let me take this call coming out of 479-238. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
You don't want a ginger snap, guys, if you want that.
I don't think we have a listener that's tuning in right now. So 479-238, we don't want any ginger snaps. What's going on? All right, so I'm going to give up on that call right there. That was somebody that must have called on one that probably wanted to share in on something. So let's get back to our conversation then. Babylon, Revelation 18, every component of it is here today. They're building it like Nimrod wanted to do thousands of years ago. All the components are ready. There are events that are going to cause those components to come together. During the Great Tribulation of Revelation 13, Babylon will be in power along with the beast. And this will be that time that Jesus referred to that all Scripture has warned about. And then there will be those that are going into the Great Tribulation, a lot of suffering, a lot of persecution, a lot of death. There will be those that will escape it. They will be in the wilderness. They will be hidden. They will be cared for. They will be exempt like the 144,000 because of the seal. They will not be touched by it. Your thoughts?
I agree with that. But I also want to make it clear that I have the belief that it is all here already. But it isn't going to be shown, and we're not going to understand it until we become the children of light. By that, I mean pray, intercede, so the light shines forth from us and the darkness slowly becomes revealed. In our efforts to live, we have to live a sanctified life and stand in stark contrast to the evil of the fallen culture, because it is evil and it's fallen. It's already fallen. I mean, we're not going to change what is, and thereby exposing sinners for who they truly are and unveiling what they truly deserve. And that is the wrath of God. And it isn't going to happen until our light begins to shine so bright that the darkness becomes exposed and we can understand these mysteries without any question.
Well, again, we go back to what we said yesterday. When the church begins to shine forth the light and that roar on the inside of them shouts out with the prayer to expose what is in the darkness, that's when I believe the Revelation chapter 12 prophecy will be fulfilled, where Satan will actually come out of his hiding place in the second heaven and will fall onto this earth and will actually begin his time of great tribulation, taking over the powers of the Babylonian system.
Well, many are going to hate the light, and those who do, you know, the illumination that is going to be shined upon them, they will try to stamp out that light and silence the church. We're beginning to see it right now. And, you know, through that, others will feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit and see the darkness of their own deeds. And it's really important that that happens, or else we're not going to understand these things in the depths of what they should be understood. I hear the most profound teaching from multitudes of people, but nobody yet has the absolute knowledge of it. But the light is ready to shine, and the light of God that shines through us both illuminates and transforms and exposes and will cleanse. He is looking to his children for this. And those whom the light redeems become visible. We're going to be shining brightly in a very dark world. But there's one thing we must do. We must learn not to get involved with the darkness of this world, whether it's be our family members or any other. And we must expose not only our own darkness, but their own darkness too. We must expose the darkness by going face to face when we see it.
You're talking
about, we must expose it.
You're talking about a working out of our own personal salvation at this time.
To get to the higher part.
And we need to understand, as we're getting cleaned up, that the illumination will fill our hearts and minds, and we will understand the things that are going on. And so, go ahead, mention that.
Yes, that prayer will do this for us. And most of us have not gone into the depths of prayer that we need to go into, to the point where we have to witness against the sins of others and endeavor to convince them of their sinfulness. In other words, we have to become holy, holiness in our own lives, and our holy living will be a consequence of sanctification. And I believe this. And we have to begin to raise standards and provide a hope to the people that are trapped in the darkness of sin. It has to start with us. But as we pray and intercede, God's light begins to shine and expose the darkness, not only what's going on in the world, but what's going on in our own life, what's going on in the church in the darkness. And this darkness has been around since the fall, and it's getting darker and darker. That's why we must shine brighter and brighter and become a greater light than we've ever been. But that success is going to become evident when we are in prayer together, interceding together, and seeking the wisdom of God, and he gives us the light. And the light is exposing the darkness, because we are entrenched then with the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ and the times that we are in right now. Oh, Lord, help us to be that light in the world. Help us to shine brighter and brighter as the time goes on. Help us to interact in this world, but expose the darkness and not be afraid to expose the darkness in our friends, in our family, everywhere we go, to speak it out. We must become that bright, shining light, and we will be able to do so if we're not afraid of the darkness. So what do we do, body of Christ? Let's begin now. Let's begin to interact with one another. Let's make friends with those who are willing to do the same. Let us expose the darkness in people that are enslaved by sin. Let then the Lord God Almighty within us expose the darkness that is operating in this earth and in this world right now. I tell you, there is no other way. It is time that we see the light and become the light now. Pastor Vincent, I give you thanks and praise, Lord.
Are you calling me Lord? Are you giving me thanks and praise?
I think not. Yes, you are my Lord, and I'm talking to the great Lord Almighty.
Well, you know, I'm sitting back and I'm listening to your conversation. And I'm noticing that you have taken this conversation into a completely different direction.
Uh-oh.
No, it's okay. Because this is something obviously that God wants to do to encourage individuals. And so we just allow the Spirit of God to lead the conversation. And what you're doing right now is probably the most important thing, rather than me just putting together some pieces you know, what this Babylonian system is going to look like. And you're bringing that up. So I just wanted to give you that liberty and that freedom to go ahead and express the Father's heart, because I like what you're doing in the sense of, you know, sometimes as I'm presenting the Word of God, people could get afraid and they could panic and they could start going, okay, you know, and subconsciously developing a spirit of fear. So rather than getting into fear over the things that are and the things that shall be, what I hear the Spirit of God doing through you is quickening people to say, listen, if you're going to get it right, I mean, if you believe this word and you realize these things are coming, then the most important thing for you to do is not panic and get afraid, but to get prepared. And you do that by getting your soul cleaned up before the Lord. And while that is happening, regardless of what's going on in the world, whether or not Babylon rises, whether you're in front of an Islamic sword, you're going to be ready in your own personal life. And I do believe that's very valuable.
Well, yes. And what you were telling them is very valuable, because you are telling them what is dark right now upon the earth, what is happening in the deep evil clutches of darkness. And, you know, the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 5:11, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And that's what I was trying to present in my way.
Well, you're so cute. You could do it any way you want to. I think that was good. You know, what I'd like to do is just, it's Friday. We're getting ready to go out today. And I think we'll just see what we're talking about. I think it was a good balance. And I think we made enough points for the listening ear out there to, you know, gather on some, you know, positive information. What I would encourage, what I'm going to be doing, and maybe encourage the saints to do, is read Revelation 18, go through it with fine tooth and comb, and everything that exists within that chapter, take a look around you in the world, somewhere in the world, and see if those things don't exist. Everything from commerce to trade, you know, to, you know, all the different shipping containers that are being shipped all over the world in our trade and our ports. And, you know, just look at all the different luxuries and delicacies and all the things that Revelation 18. And what I want you to do is just go, yeah, that does exist. That may exist over here. That exists here. Well, that's going on right now. And what you're going to notice is what Patricia said earlier. Babylon is here. But there is a gathering together, a consolidation globally, where there aren't any resistances, if you will, but a gathering together of this power,
yes,
of Babylon and the beast system, yes, that will control everything.
Yes. You see, the works of darkness is very much now running rampant, and it is going to be darker than it's ever been. But the Bible tells us, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Submit yourselves, therefore, before God, because it has to be exposed. We must understand what is happening in the darkness. It has to be brought to the light and exposed by the Lord God Almighty. And he's doing it as we receive more of his light.
Amen to that. And by the way, to one of our callers out there today, I wanted him to notice that there are no chirping birds in our fire systems that we have. One of our friends called and says, you know, there's a warning going on behind you every day. There's a chirp, chirp. And it took me, you know what's so strange about those warning fire things in the house? You could actually unplug them and pull the battery and they still chirp. I couldn't believe that. It was interesting how that works.
It is.
But anyways, it's all gone now. So praise the Lord.
A little bit like the darkness. We don't understand.
You know, how does this work? We're all enjoying it, right? All right. Well, folks, we're going to say goodbye for now. We're going to get ready to go into our weekend. Shalom. We're going to get into our time of rest. We're going to be meeting over at New Wine Ministries. Remember to keep Daniel Seckham's friend in prayer. And his friend's wife and son are in ICU, and we're praying that they come through. We want to hear a good report about that. Remember, August 23rd, 4th, and 5th, Daniel Seckham will be here for a conference in Northwest Arkansas. You might want to think about coming out and listening to the messages that will be brought forth here. Remember, October 13th to October 20th, we will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. It may be the most wise thing that God has for us to gather together at that moment in time. We're going to celebrate that, not in a legalistic way or obligatory way, but in a spiritual way, seeking the intrinsic value of the Feast of the Lord. The people in Louisiana right now are being pray for them, and who knows? Patricia, final word, 10 seconds.
Yes, I do believe at the gathering of our feast that there will be much of mysteries revealed. And if you have a desire to know the depths of what God is doing in this world today, to the degree where it's going to be revealed, come be part of what we are doing.
All right, right now on omegaradio.org, roundtable discussion is underway. We'll see you Monday. God bless everybody. Shalom.